This evening we are blessed with the presence of Reverend Father Givirgis John. Hutchin is presently serving as the Assistant Vicar of St. Thomas Orthodox Church in Philadelphia, and at this time we invite Hutchin to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit, and grant us that, with joy, we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and forevermore. Amen. The message tonight will be from Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to 34. Once again, Acts chapter 16, verses 16 to verses 34. So if you have your Bibles with you, please open to that passage. Here what we see is that Paul and Silas are going to the palace to pray. And as they're going to the palace to pray, they are approached by a woman who is filled with an evil spirit. This woman, what she does for a living is tell fortunes. And of course, she has an owner, and the owner receives money from her fortune telling. And while Paul, the Apostle Paul and Silas are walking, this woman comes and starts to say, she shouts, these men are servants of the Most High God. They announce to you how you can be saved. So basically mocking the Apostle Paul and Silas. The Apostle Paul, becoming very upset, turns around and says, in the name of Jesus Christ, I order you to come out of her. And the evil spirit comes out of her. And the owner, realizing this, that he can't make any more money because the evil spirit is out of the woman, he directs Paul and Silas to the authorities. The authorities come, the Roman officials, and they arrest Paul and Silas. And so Paul and Silas are in jail at this point, and they are beaten, they are chained, and they are put in prison. And about midnight, Paul and Silas start to sing hymns. They start to rejoice in God, and suddenly there's a violent earthquake. The whole place shakes. The foundation shakes, and the doors are finally opened. Their chains fall off. The jailer, who is responsible for them, wakes up and realizes or thinks that they're gone. And so immediately he tries to kill himself because any Roman soldier who loses a prisoner automatically is subject to death. So he attempts to kill himself, but immediately Paul shouts at the top of his voice, don't harm yourself, we're still here. And the jailer calls for a light, and he sees that they are still there. And in short, the jailer and his family all become saved because of Paul and Silas. So the jailer sees the faith that Paul has, the faith that Silas has, and how God saved them. And the jailer himself believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and becomes saved. Not only is he saved, but his family is also saved. They become baptized. They become part of the church, and they become part of the community of believers. You see, the liturgical cycle right now that we're going through is divine intervention. And what we see in the Bible reading tonight is that even though Paul and Silas were arrested and they were put in jail, God divinely intervened in that situation. That situation looked as though there was no hope. Imagine if you were jailed and you were put in chains, and you were severely beaten. It looks as though there is no hope, but God here divinely intervenes, and God divinely intervenes because here Paul and Silas sing for joy. They're joyous. They're singing for joy even in the midst of their trials and their tribulation. And so when they sing for joy, God divinely intervenes and the earthquake comes and their chains are broken. The door is open and God releases them from their bondage, from their chains. And through that experience, through that trial, through being in jail, God divinely intervenes. And Paul and Silas, what man meant for evil, God meant for good. Because through Paul and Silas, the jailer became a Christian. And not only the jailer, but the whole family was baptized into the church. See, we look at our own situation, right? Whatever we go through in life, at first it might seem as though we are in jail, as though we are in the bondage, as though we are shackled. But it's at that moment that we need to rejoice. And when we rejoice, something divine happens. The divine intervention of God happens. What we often do is we fail to rejoice even when we go through our bondage, even when we go through our chains. Even when we're severely beaten by demons, when we're severely beaten by the world and all that it has to offer, what we need to do at that moment is to rejoice. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You know, it's exactly what the Orthodox do. We sing songs, we sing hymns, even now what we're doing and what we will be doing at midnight, and on and on and on. During the hours of the day, sing hymns, rejoice in the Lord, no matter what you're going through, and God will divinely intervene. And that situation, which looks as though it has no hope, which looks as though it has no purpose, and it has no meaning, and all that there is to it is sadness and sorrow, God will use it for the good of you, for the good of others, and for the glory of His name and His church. You have to understand that. Most Christians fail at this, and this is why they cannot see any increase in their faith. They cannot see any divine intervention of miracles because they will not sing for joy. They will not take the extra step into the dimension of faith, move beyond the chains where you move beyond the jail, where you move beyond the severe beatings, and you come into an area where you rejoice, and you say, God, even though I'm in this, I'm rejoicing. Even though I'm going through this, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to praise your name. Lord Jesus Christ, whatever it is, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to receive it. And I'm going to receive it with joy because I know that I am suffering for you. When that happens, God divinely intervenes in our life and in the life of others who are around us. You take the example of what happened in Newtown, Connecticut. What a tragedy it is when evil comes into a school and slaughters young children. I myself, being a elementary school teacher, I see young children all the time. And I can't imagine losing one of them. How much of a tragedy would it be? How much of a tragedy would it be if we're a parent and we have a child and we lose our child because someone wants to come into a school and unleash his evil on little young babies and children. See, when we look at this situation, it's evil. It's a massacre. It's a slaughter. It's horrible. We can't understand it. We don't know how to explain it. Sometimes we try to explain it on Facebook. Sometimes CNN tries to explain it, Fox News, MSNBC. No one can really understand it. No one can really explain it. But even this is that jail. Even this is that beating. Even this is the chains that we are experiencing as a society. And more so, we can't even begin to place ourselves where the parents are, those who lost their young children, those who lost their mothers and their fathers in that tragic massacre. We can't begin. Nevertheless, this situation for us is that jail. And we have to come through that in prayer, in fasting, in supplication, giving God what he desires, even through this situation. Lord, we will come to you. Even through this situation, Lord, we will fast. Even through this situation, Lord Jesus Christ, we will approach you. And we will try to understand it through your word, through your prayers. And when we begin to do that, God divinely intervenes. Because there is nothing that goes on. Listen, there is nothing that goes on in the world without God knowing it. He knows everything. He knows that those 20 children were slaughtered. He knows that has happened. And he will use each and every single thing for good, for the glory of his name. And somehow and in some way, we have to come back to prayer. You know, you take God out of the schools, what happens? The devil goes in. You take prayer out of your life, what do you think goes in? Devil goes in. You take blessing away from your children, what goes in? Devil goes in. It's either God or the devil. It's either the world and Satan or God and the church. We have to choose. And so we might be in a situation in our life where we are facing that jail. But we're in the jail like Paul and Silas, and we're chained, we're beaten, we're bruised, we're battered. It looks like there's no hope. But rejoice. Sing. Praise him. Glorify him. Receive his love. Take from the Lord. Draw that energy from Jesus. He's got so much to give. Draw from him. Take from the cup of life. You go to your friends, you go to any other human being, the more you take from them, the more they become depleted. But the more you take from God, the more he gets stronger. He wants to give more and more to you. He wants to give his love. He wants to give his grace. He wants to give. So take from God. Rejoice. And he'll make the sorrow days brighter. He'll turn that pain into joy. He will bring out of any situation in our life meaning and purpose for the glory of his name, for the glory of his church. Amen. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks and blessings for his living words to us. Unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and ever. Amen.